Talking with TD. Touchdown Tennessee. The latest on the Two Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Man, we are rolling. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We got David James over there.
Yes, sir.
Making it happen. Chris Sanders, Run TMC. He'll be on a little bit later. Man, we are continuing to just power through training camp. Wednesday was the final day of camp. Next thing up will be Friday's preseason game against the New England Patriots. As you all know, the joint practices were canceled due to Isaiah Bolden having the injury. Good thing is he was able to fly back with the team to New England and they made things work. But Mike Vrabel, being the ever so crafty guy that he is, always some up his sleeve. They split the squad up. They had Stretch and Terrell Williams do a draft, a white and blue team, and they drafted players all the way down to the trainers and everything. It was kind of like two joint practices. That was a pretty cool thing to see on Tuesday. You know, they did what they had to do to keep that competition up. And it was something that Ryan Tannehill said he hasn't done that in quite some time. It was new for a lot of the guys. So that was good to see that on Tuesday. I think first things first, you know, when you talk about Tuesday, there was an incident, you know, Monday, well, I guess you could say Tuesday, 12 a.m., Caleb Farley. And I know Farley is a guy that a lot of people get on, and they call him a bust, and they say this, that, and the third. But I do appreciate the way Titans Nation came together. You guys, the fans, you did an awesome job. Along with Ryan Mouton, Nate Washington, Jeffrey Simmons, Titans, their Twitter page itself, it unfollowed a certain. Now, there's a group by the name of Titans Tonk, and I'm not sure exactly what they were thinking. But sometimes we got to understand, like, it's not your turn to talk. Sometimes it's good to just be quiet. And they had a comment there, you know, accusing Farley of insurance fraud. The man lost his father. It just the audacity to say that. I just want to commend Titans Nation for coming together. And that account is no longer on there. And I think that lets you know the strength of you guys, man, and girls. You did a great job there. So I want to shout you out with that. But Caleb Farley, a tragedy, man. We're talking about a house he had that was, you know, over 6,000 square feet, and it collapsed to the ground. All that was left was a wall in the garage, you know. But most importantly, he lost his father. And I will say, if you guys, you know, that have been rocking with Talking with TD for a long time, you know that Farley was a guy we had on early in the process. And I got to connect, actually, obviously, with Farley, but also with his dad. And I did a story on Caleb and just the strength that it took for him to power through losing his mom and then having the surgery, the injury to his back, and then missing the COVID season before that, and just so much. I mean, this guy, to let you know the relationship that he has with his father, he sat out a year of college football. Now, we're talking about a guy who was a future. It was known that he was going to be a future high draft pick. He said, you know what? That's not important. What's important is that I don't give my dad COVID. He sat out a full year of college football to make sure that he didn't get his dad sick. That lets you know the relationship. And if you want to know even further the relationship that Farley had, there's two that Caleb had with his dad, Robert Farley, who's 61. May he rest in peace. There's two quotes that Farley had. I forget the news outlets, but we'll look at it. What's that first outlet? Is that Queen City?
Queen City News.
Queen City News. This is Caleb talking. Caleb Farley's talking about his father, Robert Farley.
My father was a stand-up guy. He was a stand-up guy. He raised me to be a stand-up guy.
And, you know, that's one thing that Caleb always was with me. You know, I just remember talking to him after different things, and he took accountability. You know what I mean? But you look at what he's been through, and he kind of touched on that too. This one is another. This is another quote that he had when he was interviewed, and he just talked about being a fighter. This is powerful right here. Check it out.
Yeah, I mean, well, I just lean on my faith. That's all I can do. That's all I got. That's what I've been doing, you know. Had a pretty wild 5-6 years, last 5-6 years. I'm a fighter, though.
And that's what he is. And one thing that I always respected about Caleb was the fact that no matter what happened on the field, he always had confidence. And he always felt that he was that guy. And I respect that. And you hate to, you know, like imagine what it was that he went through. And it's tough, man. I mean, or what he's going through now. You know, I say what he went through because I'm thinking back to talking to his dad and it just the conversations with him. Telling me some of the tidbits for my story that I did on his faith and you know, losing his mother and how that helped strengthen his faith. His dad was an outstanding track runner. There's a barbershop there in North Carolina that his dad and uncle own. And Caleb told me how he would go in there and they would tell him, like, man, you're nothing compared to your dad. Your dad was the true track runner, you know, and I believe he played football also. But, man, it's just a shame, man. You know. I think it's really good the way the Titans are standing with him. Kevin Byard, actually, here's Byard on what he had to say and just, you know, reaching out to Caleb Farley.
You text this morning to tell him, you know, I'm thinking about him, praying for him. And, you know, Caleb's a big believer. He has a lot of faith, and I just kind of told him to lean into his faith as hard as he's ever done before. I know he lost his mother at a young age as well, so he's dealt with a lot of adversity as well. So just very tragic. And, you know, as a team and as a brother, you know, all we can do and all I can do is just try to be there for him. It's going to be, it's going to be tough. I mean, like I said, it's an unimaginable tragedy.
Yeah. How do you, as a team, you said you guys just found out, you know, before practice, how do you know that, deal with that, and then come out and do what you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, I mean, like I kind of explained, last year I lost my mother during mandatory mini camp, and you know, you lose your mother, funeral at the end of the week, and then you just like, you just get back out into the world, and you know, I got to start training for training camp, and it's like, I didn't really even know how to operate. I felt, you know, I was in a very dark place for a while. But like I said, all you can really do, and the only advice I can give to anybody that's going through something like that, just to lean into your faith. Know that God will make the mistakes as tough as it sounds and as tough as it can be. You just have to lean into that. Because, like you said, you can really fall into a really, really dark place. And like I said, it's tough, honestly.
Anything more that you guys can do to be there for him? You have any idea?
I mean, just try to reach out to him. When I sent the text message, I told him, you know, I mean, I'm not even looking for a response or anything like that. Just like I said, really just try to be there for him. I feel like in times like this, you just need to put your arms around him, wrap your arms around him, and whatever feelings he's dealing with, kind of let him deal with those. But yeah, I mean, I feel like as a team and as a brother, all I can really do is try to be there for him, pray for him, pray with him.
That's it right there. I think Kevin Byard explained it best, and it's really good just to, you know that he has the support of not only his fellow guys in the secondary, but the team overall. In fact, Ryan Tannehill spoke on Wednesday about Caleb Farley's situation, the tragedy, and I just think, you know, feel it in his voice. Like he really, really, you know, is trying to make sure that it's just clear, you know, how much these guys support him. Here's Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, just a tragic, terrible situation. I can't even imagine walking through what he's walking through right now. Him and the rest of his family. It's just really hard to really even understand what he's dealing with, just the magnitude of the situation and how things unfolded and why and all those sorts of things. So I don't think anyone can really relate exactly with what he's dealing with, but we can be there for him, try to support him as best we can, and just know that we love him and we care for him, and you know, we just want to support him through these tough times.
So, you know, I guess the best thing to say is and this is something that, you know, I noticed about Titans fans. You guys may not have met the player or, you know, talked to the player, but you guys really feel for the player. So make sure you guys keep the Farley family in your prayers, man. It's a tragedy. You know, Caleb is a young man that lost both his mother and his father in a short span, and neither one was fully expected, you know. So definitely make sure you keep that family in your prayers. Robert Farley, 61 years old. Rest in peace. So we do have to keep this thing moving, and so that's what we'll do. We'll stay in the secondary, and I think, you know, when you look at this secondary, I asked Mike Vrabel about the DBs, right, the safeties, and there's some depth there, you know, a lot of depth. Obviously, you got Monty Hooker, who had two interceptions on Wednesday. You got Mike Brown, who's continued to play really well as far as at the safety position as well as special teams. Then a guy who I think makes the roster, and talking to a lot of other people, they don't necessarily have him there, Shaheem Carter. Now, Shaheem is another one of those buy one, get one free players. He's actually buy one, get two free. And Mike Vrabel mentioned how he was able to draw a couple penalties on special teams. Now, he could play nickel. He could play safety. He's seen reps at both of those. He's another one that has some depth. But I want to talk about Eric Garrer. And I'm not exactly sure. I've heard people say Garrer. I've heard people say Garrer. But we'll just say number 33. And it was funny because after I spoke to him at the game on Saturday, the Vikings game, I told him a certain young DB, not smaller, undersized DB that he should watch. But I wanted to get some feedback on him on just some of the things that he brings to the table, some of the guys we watch. So here's Eric Garrer.
I want to say, like, really all the guys that are really short like me, because when you're short, you just want to go in there and throw your body in there and just take one for the team. You know, you're not big enough, so they're going to try to run you over. You just have to go in there and just throw your body in there.
Yeah. Now, as far as, like, that mindset, how do you approach that?
Really, I just, like I said, really just don't even have it in my mind. Just go. Just whatever you see, just go. Don't even wait on it. Because if you wait on it and let it come to you, you might not make it. But I just try to just go in there and just get that forget mind and just go in there and make the play.
Now, and watching you from camp into the first couple preseason games, it's like riding up on a roller coaster. For you, what's that experience been like?
It's been fun. Just getting in the NFL, getting my feet wet with NFL teams. It's very exciting right now. I'm enjoying the moment.
Cool.
So the DB I told him to watch is Antoine Winfield. And now Antoine Winfield was 5'9", 180. Eric Garrer is 5'8", 174. But both of those guys are like those little vicious pit bulls, I guess you could call them, like a baby. They're like baby pits. You know what I mean? They come up and they make plays against the run. They're feisty. They fight all the way through the tuck when they're defending the pass. I really like what Eric Garrer has been able to do. Now he also is doubling up as a punt returner, and he's someone that you're probably seeing the mix there. Mason Kinsey as well, you know, obviously with Kyle Phillips being out the 4 to 6 weeks. But then also in the front end, there's a guy that's really developing. And I remember, you know, before camp, even before rookie minicamp, I said, this guy, I think, you know, he has a good shot to make the roster, and that's Caleb Murphy. And when you look at Caleb Murphy, the outside linebacker coming out of Ferris State, we're talking, you know, he played D2, but this dude right here, you wouldn't tell that there's a jump in competition. He had 2 sacks, and I think you look at Brian Baldinger, he had a breakdown there, and it showed just the plan that Murphy has. You know, he tried that outside rush, made sure that he didn't go rush deeper than the quarterback. And so when he started to get deep, he spun back inside and got the sack. Mike Vrabel said he would have liked for him to get the tomahawk that ball out. And that's, you know, that's next level. That's something that obviously you wanna see. But I talked to Caleb Murphy after the game, you know, about his big time performance. And here's what he had to say.
Is always up there. Confidence level has always been high. I pride myself in what I do. You know what I'm saying? I'm here for a reason. I've said that over and over again. But, you know, there's a lot of work to still be done, a lot of things to clean up. But very proud of myself. You know, two sacks is big. So, you know, just we got the win. You know, that's the most important.
How do you do it?
I'm sorry. Can we turn your own back to you?
It's always nice as, you know, that's what we're brought in to do is sack the quarterback, you know. You know, so it's nice. It's a nice feeling, but other than that, you know, I think it's something that's become natural with the feeling of hitting the quarterback, coming in, doing it for the team program. But yeah,
the sacks are good, but you know, we see you run down the line and make a tackle. You're setting the edge. How important is it to show overall that you could be a complete outside backer?
Yeah, those are the team keys: effort, finish, and violence. You know, so just trying to come out with effort, finishing plays. Being violent every play, you know, just got to clean up some things. But to be able to, you know, be a full, complete player would be nice, you know, just continue to work on it.
How's that transition come?
Go ahead, bro.
How's that transition come along for you, you know, going from Division II and facing this level of athlete that you're facing now?
Yeah, I think people think when we play Division II, people always think the competition level's down or the game speed's different and stuff like that. But you got to remember, we won two national championships in a beautiful way, you know. So I think our talent level was there. You know, I think I was competing at practice, you know, big dudes, just coming out here, continuing to do the same thing.
There you have it right there, Caleb Murphy. He's a guy that Mike Vrabel really likes the way that he's come along and just been able to, you know, develop pass rushing moves and just be a pro. And that's something you're seeing him start to do. Ladies and gentlemen, he's on my 53-man roster. He's been on it since I made the way too early roster projection for ESPN.com. We have another one coming out, and rest assured he'll be on that once again. So just wanted to bring you a little bit of sights and sounds, so to speak. Well, more sounds from after the Titans-Vikings game, and then also, obviously, you know, again, we had to open up, you know, Caleb Farley and his situation. So, again, make sure you guys keep him in your prayers. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We're going to bring back Chris Sanders and Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run TMC. For you. Fresh.
There they go.
Ready?
Hey. Uh-oh. Music fades. The lights dim. Where are we going today? And now, coming to you live for your Chicago Bulls. At power forward, number 54, Horace Grant.
And now, the coach of the Temple Owls.
Oh,
God.
What'd he say to Calipari? I'll kill you.
Oh, dude, how do you say it again?
I'll kill you. I'll never forget that, man. He came storming in that press conference, boy.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, dude. Hey, I'm looking at the picture on Google.
Yo, John Chaney was no joke, man.
Boy, he was feisty. He's mean, but one heck of a coach.
Yeah,
man.
He got a start at my alma mater, man. Chaney University. Yeah, at one point, like we had two legends, yeah, basketball legends. Of course, John Chaney, but then Vivian Stringer, who ended up, you know, she went to Rutgers and coached there. But both of that, Chaney was the male coach, Stringer was the girls coach, man.
It
was,
boy, that's what's up.
Yeah, those first. You know, first HBCU in the country.
Yeah, y'all look alike too, man. I bet you when they saw it, like, man, you know, y'all look like twins.
Yeah, so we like Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. So what's cracking, man? What's going on with these chains, my guy?
Hey, well, I mean, you got to get to part of practice on Wednesday. Yeah, it was good to see you in the mix. And
good to see you,
you know,
too, bro.
You got to watch some of the receivers and DBs and everything like that. I think, well, first things first, let's hit on this because it seems like every single practice, there's two or three times where Ryan Tannehill is like, you know what? I don't care. DeAndre Hopkins is down there somewhere. What do you think of that relationship that they seem to start to have?
I mean, it's very encouraging because the thing about it is when you talk about a relationship, it's built. Right. And you got two guys that are very experienced players that have been in the league for quite some time, and they're understanding each other. And it's kind of like the perfect marriage. They know each other. They talk. They communicate. They're friends off the field. And you can just see when any time that Tannehill gets in trouble, anytime he needs a big play, anytime he needs somebody to step up and kind of do something spectacular – it's always Hopkins. And what does that show you? It just shows you, and it shows me, and it shows the fans that Tannehill trusts Hopkins, and Hopkins trusts Tannehill in spite of any situation. And that's a special, special sight to see.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it goes back to that Thursday night game, and I've mentioned this before, against the 49ers. And it was like, hey, you know what? AJ get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he just kept, I think it was like 8 receptions for first downs on third downs, you know, and that's the type of relationship I think Tannehill and Hopkins are having. But, you know, what about the other side, right? Treylon Burks is not in the mix temporarily. Kyle Phillips is not in the mix for the 6 weeks. What's left? Who are you looking to step up in place of those guys who are out for a couple weeks?
You know, I mean, there's a whole bunch of guys. I mean, you got Chris Moore, you got Colton Dell, you got Reggie Robinson, you got Treshawn Harrison. But the one cat that I'm really, really liking in this camp is Harrison. I mean, you look up every time, he's just kind of making plays, and Racy B. Mathis made some plays. But at the end of the day, it's just a bunch of guys. But I think this next scrimmage, you know, against the Patriots, I think you're going to start to see who starts to separate themselves. But the guy that makes plays, the guys that can consistently, you know, be on film is Treshawn Harrison, and I really like what he's doing.
Yeah, Harrison had a really nice catch on Wednesday. Will Levis.
Even today.
It was a beautiful drop-in-the-bucket throw from Will Levis, who is back, by the way. You know, that's something that we have to mention. You know, he was out on Tuesday. He didn't play in Saturday's game, but he was back. Has a sleeve or compression short on his left thigh hamstring area right there, but you know Treshawn Harrison is very smooth. That's the thing I like. He catches the ball and he does something that you know is tough, right? He runs through the catch, and that's the thing I like about him. What about Robertson? You know Reggie Robertson. You know,
yeah,
I know he's a guy. How can he get stuff to transfer to games?
I mean that's the key. I mean he's just got to make plays. But I want to piggyback and just kind of step back before I ask that question. You know, with all the guys that we're talking about, do you think that NWI is safe?
That's a good question. So on Wednesday, Tannehill went to him, and he had a chance to make a play that you're like, okay, that's why he cemented as the, you know, fourth or fifth receiver on this, this roster. But he didn't come up with the play. I still think that he's safe because of his big body, right? And where he is now, like he's back relegated to where he's supposed to be, whereas he's a guy that, okay, you're going to be a gunner. You're going to use your big athletic body, your speed, your willingness to just throw yourself into the mix. I need you to go down there and make the tackle on punt return, on punt team. You know what I mean? I think that's what is going to be the saving grace for he, possibly Racy McMath also.
Yeah, see, that's just with Treshawn Harrison playing so well. I mean, what's the difference between him and NWI? And we just saw it in practice the other day when there was a play that needed to be made, and me and you are standing beside each other, and we're like, oh, he came up with it, but then we look down and the ball's on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the plays that you have to make because right now after Treylon Burks, he's hurt after, Hopkins, you know, it's just everybody's just making, you know, anybody can catch the ball, but who's making that tough catch? Who's making it when it's third and 23? You're jumping over somebody's head and making a play. I just think that's what's going to establish these guys for making a play. And just kind of continue what you were talking about, Reggie Robinson, I understand what you're saying. I mean, he is making some plays in practice and he's explosive. But, you know, I just think that he's got to translate that to the games. And I'm not just saying it's all his fault because on the flip side, you still have to get opportunities to make the plays. But he's got to do something to where he gets noticed in the game. And I think that we're noticing him in practice, but we're just not noticing him in games.
And that's the big problem.
That's the key, yeah.
That's the big problem. What about Mason Kinsey? What are your thoughts on him? Because, you know, it's a great opportunity for a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's just consistent. He's just that guy. I mean, he's not going to wow you. He's not going to do nothing spectacular. When it's 3rd and 15, he's going to get 16 yards and get a first down. So I agree with you. This is a great opportunity with Kyle Phillips being out to be that slot receiver, to run those choice routes, to run the slant, to run those quick outs and make something happen. Because you may remember last year in preseason, who was me and you talking about? We're talking about him.
Yeah.
You know, he had a great preseason. He made some plays. He made some first down. But then when we get in the regular season, I don't know if they trust him. I don't know if they believe he can be that guy. But he just didn't really play that much.
Yeah. Well, let's look at this, too, because you got the preseason. There's some guys who, you know, aren't going to get any reps in the preseason at all. Right. They're relying on the joint practices. As a player for you, like, how much did you need the preseason to get ready?
You know what? I loved it. I mean, it helped me a big time. And I talked a little bit about this last week, you know, a couple of weeks ago when Les Steckel told me, he said, man, you know, there's a lot of people in the building that believe in you, but still the offensive coordinator wants to see if you are capable of being a starter in this league. So now we're playing the Washington Redskins. It's a preseason game, and I'm still in the game. It's fourth quarter. You know, the veterans have their hats off, and they're just kind of just looking at the game. But all of a sudden, now this is crazy. It's 4th and 23, and the coach is like, we're going for it. The reason why the coach said go for it, because they wanted to see if Chris can be clutch when it was time to make a play. And it's preseason. So it's 4th and 23. I run a curl out about 10 yards. I catch it. I spin, and then I run for a little bit, and I dive for the first down. That cemented me for becoming a starter receiver. So to answer to your question is, the reason why it's so important is because that one play can convince some of the coaches that this can be my guy to make this team.
How do you like along those lines, what Jeffrey Simmons said? I don't know if you heard it after practice on Wednesday, but I thought it was perfect. And I will say this, Jeffrey Simmons is evolving into a brilliant and excellent leader for this team.
Yes, he is.
It seems like he always has the right thing to say. Most of the time, he exemplifies the right behavior. But you did see him, you know, get into a little tussle with Jamarcus Jones. I guess who doesn't? He's had more fights than games that he played in. But regardless, Jeffrey Simmons, he had a really good saying. You know, he was asked about the guys who are playing in the final preseason game and what his message to them would be. And he said, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, be focused on today.
Ooh.
And understand that you do belong here.
Wow.
And if
so
it's
good.
Not here, it's with one of the 31 other teams, but you belong here. Give them a reason to have that decision be even tougher. I thought that was really good. What do you think of those thoughts?
I think that's awesome, because the thing about it is you can only control what you can control. I mean, that's it. You know, but what you don't want to do is have bad body language. If, you know, when I say bad body language, it's just like, well, this is the last preseason game. I don't know if I'm going to make the team. They're evaluating everything
and then
you do. So we always say the same when we're watching the practice. The eye in the sky don't lie. What does that mean?
No.
That means the camera is always on you. So when it's time for you, maybe the you got 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you don't want to be out there. They're watching your body language. They're watching you. Okay, this guy doesn't even know if he's going to make the team. He may go out there and make a play, and it might convince him. I'll give you a perfect example. You know, 1996, we had a guy named Chris Sanders. He was another Chris Sanders. He was from Texas A&M. He was a wide receiver. And we had a slew of receivers that year. So he was on the bubble of making the team. So now what he does is, this is what he did. He went to the special teams coach. He said, Coach, this is during the game now. He wasn't even on the depth chart. He went to the special teams coach. He said, Coach, can I just run down there and just tackle somebody? And the coach put him out there. He put him out there at the number two. He runs down there, and he jumps over the wedge, and he hits the returner. That's how he made the team.
Oh, so there were two Chris Sanders on the team?
Actually, three. There's a quarterback named Chris Sanders.
Good Lord.
And the crazy part about it, that was back then where they had to put your whole name on there. So just imagine on the back of my jersey, it was Chris Sanders on the whole team. Every time I wore that jersey, I'm like, man, what in the Sammy Hill is going on? This is awful. Look like you in a uniform, man.
Hey, listen. No, you look that good. You didn't look that pretty, though. That's hilarious, man. What do you think of what they did as far as not being able to have the joint practices with the Patriots? Mike Vrabel says, you know what? We're going to split the squad up. Stretch, yep. You draft. Coach T, you draft. And we're going to have a scrimmage. What do you think of that?
I thought it was awesome. It created some competition because everybody knows that you hate to lose. I don't care if it's marbles. I don't care if it's Batman. I don't care what it's. Guys hate to lose. Yep. So when you start divvying up teams, when you start saying, we're me against you, the competitive juices go up. I mean, you got blitzing. You got trash talking. You got all this stuff. And the one thing I love about what Vrabel did is he created an environment, number one, for fun, but also a competitive environment. And that's what made it so special. I mean, you know, a lot of guys would have been like, okay, let's just have practice. This is camp. You know, we go through our 7-on-7. Nine. So he said, hold on. Even though we're not going through joint practice, we're still going to get some good work done. And that's exactly what he did with the scrimmage.
Yeah. What do you think of Vrabel overall as a coach? You know, his ability to do those type of things, the way he relates to players, the attention to detail. Like, what do you think of him as a coach?
I think he's a great coach, and you just hit it on the head. He pays attention to details, and when I say pay attention to details, that's all over the board. Watch him in practice. He's coaching the receivers, giving them details. He's coaching the linebackers. He's coaching the offensive line. He's coaching the coaches up. He's saying, okay, we're not going to leave any rock unturned. We're going to beat you with technique. We're going to beat you with creating a habit of doing the right thing. So I watch him. I mean, he gets even when he goes to the combine or the individual workout, he puts a pad on his chest and say, you know what, you do this, you do that, because he wants to make guys better. And in my opinion, I think he's one of the best, you know, coaches in the league right now, because he pays attention to the details and he makes sure everybody does their job. That's why I love what he does.
No doubt about it. And I think, you know, it's funny that the days, like when we are able to go through a full practice, sometimes like I'll follow Coach Vrabel all over the place, right? Like, as he goes from position to position, and it's just like he goes and he drops a gem with the O-line, and then to the receivers, and then the LB. Like, it's just, it's crazy. And I remember the one time, you know, this dude, I went over, it was during special teams period, and he was over there with the guys, you know, the tackles punt return. He was on with them, and he was going over like how they have to react to if a team runs games up front, and just the attention. Like, I was amazed. It's like, how do you know all of these positions as well? It's crazy to me.
But you know why? But this started in college, right? Because I went to the Ohio State with him. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when he first came in, everybody's talking about what he cannot do, what he can't do. He's too slow. He can't play. All this crazy stuff. So what he had to do is he had to pay attention to detail. He had to say, okay, you know what? Even though I might not beat you with speed, even though I might not beat you with this, but I'm going to always be in position to smack you in the mouth. So what did that do? That translated into coaching. That translated into mentoring different guys and making sure everybody's in position to do it right because what he did at Ohio State.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So you spent time there at Ohio State with him. Before we get you out of here, any crazy stories?
Yeah. He was crazy on the field, man. I mean, hey, you knew that Mike Vrabel was in there. I think one time he fought an offensive lineman and ripped off his helmet and then threw it on the other field. That's the guy that crazy. And just threw it on the field and then looked at him. Now, if I'm on offense, I'm not going to fight Mike Vrabel. I weigh like about 130 pounds in college. He was about 260, 270. So I'm definitely not going to fight that dude, man.
Yeah, he had traces of Latimer, man. Minus the medicine.
Hey, man. Hey, but before we go, man, I got a little story, man. I got one too.
So go ahead. You shoot.
I was watching The Last Dragon.
Oh.
And it was this guy that was doing karate.
Hey, yo, Leroy.
His name Leroy, and his name was Shonuff. And my daughter was like, Dad, you know, is that TD? I didn't know he was an actor. I was like, no, man, that's Shonuff. Shonuff, that ain't TD. He catches bullets with his teeth.
Kiss my Converse. Well, that's right in line with something that happened to me, man. I was watching with my youngest daughter. She wanted to see, like, some of the cartoons before her time. So we're watching. And it was Bill Cosby. And he had this particular cartoon. It wasn't the Cosby Kids. It wasn't those.
My goodness.
So, you know, no Mushmouth. None of that. No Fat Albert in them. This one was actually, and it was this little kid. He had a bald head. And my daughter was like, is that the cartoon version of that guy you do the show with? I said, no, Devin, that's Little Bill.
Oh.
get off my fast code, man. I didn't even know what to say.
This is Caleb Farley. I'm talking with TD. I'm a less that. Canal chain
where your vets at. Flex and make me want to bless that. Yo, Saddam Hussein. It's like the time. All right, back in the break. Talking with TD. You hear that Wu-Tang, it's yours. And that's one thing that it seems like the Titans are saying to Mason Kinsey. I think when you look at Kyle Phillips being down, Kyaris Jackson was back at practice on Wednesday. Eric Garer there as the returner as well. But Mason Kinsey is another guy that's in the mix. And, man, it's the time is now for Mason Kinsey, because when you look at the opportunity in front of him, Kyle Phillips out 4 to 6 weeks, Kinsey slash Kyaris Jackson, like, that's their next best pure slot option. I wouldn't be surprised to see Chris Moore in some of the three receiver sets. But remember, Treylon Burks is out 2 to 4 weeks also. So there's a good opportunity for a guy like Mason Kinsey, who's just kind of stuck around. And I think when you look at his ability to just kind of tough it out, man, like, he made some tough catches in both in the Bears game, but also the Vikings game. And there was one where he got rocked. He caught a slant, and he got rocked on third down, and he got right back up and came back in. And that's one of the things Mike Vrabel said he likes about him, that toughness, the always being available. And I think that's something that they're looking to reward him. I mean, this guy was the emergency quarterback, and he got to come in and take a couple snaps for the Titans. And Mike Vrabel said that that's something that he wanted to reward him. And he commented on just the way Kinsey's always running around. Like, they ask him to do an awful lot. Even though he was a practice squad guy, they asked him to do a lot, and he still goes out there and he does it, whether it's playing safety, receiver, you know, quarterback, whatever they want him to do on the practice squad to make sure the defense gets a look at just a degree of what they're going to face in the upcoming game. Mike Vrabel doesn't often rave about players, but here he is on Mason Kinsey.
We'll see where, you know, he can line up at any different spot. And punt returner for us, he'll get some opportunity to do that in the game on Friday. He's reliable, dependable. Talked about just what he's done when he's been on the practice squad, as far as the amount of volume that he's had to take over the course of a couple of years in practice, just playing safety, playing receiver, playing safety, playing receiver. That's what we needed. And so, you know, you're going to get a good day, honest day's work from Mason, and I think we all appreciate that. And he's got a great attitude. He's fun to be around.
He is fun to be around. His saying, you know, when he comes out before practice, what a day to have a day. That's what you hear him say all the time. He's shifty. He's sure-handed. You know, he's a fan favorite, too. You know, I see a lot of you guys on Twitter, you know, posting about him. And I tell you, if there was ever a shot, a great shot for him to make the roster, the 53-man, this would be the time. So we'll definitely keep note of how he does, obviously, in the game on Friday, and then spinning into, not training camp, but the remaining practices. I mean, they'll have a bit of time, you know, before they have to make that cut down. So it's going to be tough, man. We're talking about shaving 90 down to 53, and it's a bloody day for some of the guys in Titans land, or even just across the NFL. But I think you know at the same time it's a great opportunity, you know, and that's something that Mason Kinsey got to catch up with him after practice on Wednesday, and really the conversation is about how much is the time now. Here's Mason Kinsey on that.
When you look at this opportunity that you have now, how much is it like a now or never moment for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a big opportunity with some guys down in our room. But I just come in here and I try to stack days, try to build the trust of my teammates and my coaches. And I try and just take it a day at a time. I try not to look at the mountain. I just try and climb, if that makes any sense. But, yeah, it's obviously a big opportunity. But I think by stacking these days, it gives the coaches more confidence to be able to plug and play guys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, if I can have a good day and then have a better day and then have a better day, then, you know, whenever we play New Orleans, you know, I feel like I've given myself you know, an opportunity to suit up.
I joked with one of the other reporters. I was like, man, you'll survive the apocalypse. Like, for you, the way that you've been able to just continue to come back, like, what has been the key for that?
Yeah, I live by the verse, Proverbs 14:23, all hard work leads to profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. I actually have it tattooed on my chest, but it is a verse that I think about daily. And you don't know when the profit's going to come. You don't know what it's going to look like. And you don't know necessarily where it's going to come from. But all I can do is control how hard I work and put my best foot forward, come in here, act like a professional, handle my business, and, like I said, try and stack days, and I think the rest will take care of itself.
Mike Vrabel doesn't often, like, smile and talk about you guys, but the last couple times your name came up, like, he talked about all the things that you do in practice, you know, sometimes playing safety. You played quarterback in the last game.
Yeah.
When you hear a coach talk about you like that, how encouraging is that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I saw one of the interviews and he said the word dependable. And mm-hmm. I think that's a huge compliment, because for me and the role that I've played so far in this team, it's a big deal for me for a coach to say that I'm dependable and somebody that they can rely on, because those are the people that eventually end up playing, are guys that you trust. So that was awesome to hear that from Braves, and I love Braves, and I appreciate all the stuff that he's done for me as well. But it's always good to, you know, get a smile and a compliment out of the head coach, for sure.
Mason Kinsey, ladies and gentlemen, he is continuing to keep himself in the mix. Man, I had to drop that joke about the apocalypse, because, you know, if there's two people that would survive, that is Mason Kinsey, and I should say that about Logan Woodside, because they just continue to find a way to remain in the mix. Now, Woodside is down there in Atlanta, go figure. Arthur Smith, Coach Art, got himself a former Titans quarterback down there. But I think, you know, Mason Kinsey is a guy that you can't help but root for. You want him to do well. You hear how positive his attitude is. I love what he said about climb the mountain, don't look at it. You know, and that's one of the things where it's just keep your head down and continue working. That's exactly what Mason Kinsey has done since he got to the league. We're talking about a guy who came out of small Division III Berry College, and now here he is with an opportunity to make the 53-man roster. Got to salute that. Tip your cap to him. Speaking of tipping your cap, I have to tip my cap to a couple guys that were at Titans practice on Wednesday, man. I got to catch up with one of my favorites. One of my favorites, man. I love Dean P so much, man. And I got to catch up with him. It was great talking to him. He was at practice. He said he's getting the itch. But, you know, that's what happens when you do something for 50 years and you're around it again. You're going to want to continue to do it. But great getting to see Coach P's. Delanie Walker, a.k.a. D-Love, was at Titans practice as well on Wednesday. There were an assortment of former Titans players there. So too many to name. But, hey, man, shout out to each of them that were there. Shout out to my guy over here making it happen, David James.
Yes, sir. Always fun doing this, buddy.
Yes, sir. Over there doctoring it up. And speaking of former Titans, well, he's not a former Titan. He's a forever Titan. Chris Sanders, the wide receiver, a.k.a. Tyrone Hill. It's all right that he looks like him. We still going to show him some love right there. And speaking of showing love, I appreciate, man, you guys, man, on Twitter, social media, y'all always rock with me, man. I appreciate that. Always give me a shout out, you know, whenever, you know, something comes up. You guys, yeah, you rock with your boy, man. I appreciate that. Definitely make sure that you continue to check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere that you hear fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.